Welcome to The Breakdown, where we dig deeper into Sunday sermon, talk about life, and encourage you in your walk with Jesus. All right, welcome to another episode of The Breakdown. We are good to go.
Ready to do it, man. Yeah. Back on the scene. Let's make it happen.
I'm excited. We want to thank everybody who listens. I really appreciate seeing the metrics on Anchor. It's pretty exciting that people want to listen to us, you know, you twice in 1 week.
We got metrics, man.
Yeah, sometimes three times in a week. So, man, that it always excites me. It's always encouraging.
You can always put this on, get a nice nap in, just like perfect background, you know.
It's like golf or NASCAR on a Sunday.
That's right, man. Perfect. We're here to help you. We're here to help you with your narcolepsy.
Absolutely. But this week on your sermon, we talked about the essentials of the faith. You hit on six very important essentials that we as Christians must believe.
Right.
These are the doctrines of the faith, really important pieces. So with that being said, I was trying to think of the essentials of my life, of the culture that I grew up in. And I came down, and I think this is true for Georgia.
Okay.
You can correct me if I'm wrong, but one of the main essentials for the culture here is food.
Oh, sure.
Yeah. And in Louisiana, that's a big portion of everything.
Probably, maybe even more so.
Yeah. I mean, you go to somebody's house, you're expecting to eat. Yeah. Or you're offered food. Or anywhere you go, you're like, oh, well, what's for lunch? What are we eating?
Okay.
Like, that kind of sets the tone for everything. So if you have a good meal, you're going to have a good time.
Yeah. That's church culture, Southern church culture too, right?
Correct. You know? Jesus establishes that for us.
Yeah. You
know? He waited to do the Lord's Supper after a meal. Like that was the important part.
He came back and, you know, ate fish with even in his resurrected body, right? You know, pretty cool. Cook some lunch for the guys.
Yep. So I have five questions pertaining to food. This is U.S. culture food. I'm going to ask them, and I want your best guess at this.
Throw them out there.
If you know any of these, I'm going to be pretty impressed. I don't know what your level of food, a foodie, is that what they call it?
I wouldn't know. I don't know that I'm a foodie, but I like watching cooking shows and stuff, so I might know.
Okay, so I think this one probably is easy. What is the only U.S. state where coffee beans are grown?
State of Washington.
State of Washington. Incorrect. Hawaii is actually the only place.
Oh, man,
kind of forget that Hawaii is a state.
Totally forget that. Yes.
Sorry if you're from Hawaii.
That makes total sense.
I like this one. What type of food is the most frequently ordered item in the USA?
Cheeseburger or burger?
Close.
Okay.
I'll give you another guess.
French fries? No?
That's a side of this dish.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, a hot dog?
No, chicken tenders.
Oh, my gosh.
That is the most ordered food
in the
USA. The
chicken tendies, man. Yeah. I should have known that. Wow. All right.
We have food places that they only sell chicken
tenders. That's Brian LaRue's most ordered thing. That's a staple
of
his diet.
Part of the problem.
Yeah, a staple of his diet, man.
What is the oldest soft drink in the United States?
I'm making sure that this is not a trap. I'm guessing it's not Coke.
It's not Coke. I'll give
you
that.
Okay. That was kind of the trap I was trying not to fall into.
Yeah.
Does it still exist?
It does still exist.
It does still exist. Wow. And it's the oldest soft drink. Dr. Pepper?
Dr. Pepper is correct.
Okay.
Yeah, 1885. It was sold at Morrison's old corner drug store in Waco, Texas.
Dr. Pepper is good. Diet Dr. Pepper is I don't really drink it very often, but it's really good.
I'm a Dr. Pepper fan.
That's my go-to.
It's
good.
Until I married Heather, and she was a Coke person, so.
Okay.
She buys groceries.
Yeah, I'm a Diet Coke guy.
I just drink
so.
Coke. What state is credited for being the birthplace of the cheeseburger?
Wow, birthplace of the cheeseburger. Man. I have absolutely no idea. I'm going to say Illinois, like Chicago or something.
Okay, it's Denver.
Oh, okay, weird.
It was Colorado's first drive-in called Humpty Dumpty Barrel Restaurant.
Well, that was my second guess.
1935. Crazy. Last one, in Newark, New Jersey, it's illegal to sell this food item after 6 p.m. without a doctor's note.
What
food is it?
What?
This one blew my mind.
Illegal to sell it after 6 without a doctor's note. I have no idea. I'm going to say like hot wings or something. I don't know.
It is ice cream.
What?
This is a law that's still on the books today in New Jersey.
I need that so that I won't eat ice cream late at night, man.
That's Maybe they're just trying to help people out.
Yeah, that's right. You know, no ice cream after 6. That's a crazy law.
Probably a good rule of thumb to live by. But yeah, so those are some food essentials.
Yes, those are all essentials.
But let's get down to the essentials that really have an effect on our spiritual life and spiritual health. So kind of give us a synopsis of what your sermon was about.
Yeah, so you know, this week we were really trying to dial in, put a bow on the series, and get into the real nitty-gritty of what are those things we cannot budge on, because we spent some of the weeks talking about, you know, we don't want to be over focused on things that don't matter as much. And we begin this message even this Sunday talking about not majoring in the minors, right? And then purposefully shifting gears into that, but let's be sure we don't lose sight of the things that matter most, because and I kind of talked about this in the message, while there's certainly a group of people that too often focus on the minor things and lose sight of the things that matter most when it comes to theology, doctrine, the Bible, Christianity, the practice of their faith, etc. That definitely happens. Culturally, though, the church has seen a shift in the last probably even decade and a half, where it's almost turned too far the other direction, where now nobody cares. Well, I don't want to say nobody. Not as many people care about doctrine and theology as once did. Yeah. So it's almost like what happens in a lot of times is when something needs corrected, sometimes it gets overcorrected. Yeah. And so I think culturally within the church, we've overcorrected to a degree where for some, they've lost sight of, no, you know, theology, what you believe, doctrine, it matters. It's not, you know, the pursuit of sound doctrine doesn't make you a Pharisee. And I think that's the thing that legitimately people have tried to avoid is being Pharisaical, which that's good, but don't overcorrect so far that you say, well, you know, I just, like we talked about last week, you know, or was that this week? I think it was the week before. God said it, so I believe it, and that settles it. Was that 2 weeks ago?
That's how you opened up last week.
That was last week. So that same kind of idea, right? You know, obviously these thematically throughout the series, we've kind of been talking about these ideas. So yeah, some of it even bleeds together in my mind. But yeah, this week
they're
really
all connected, though.
Oh, of course,
and that's what the important thing that
bleed over. Yeah,
absolutely,
for sure.
And the thing that you, or the main text that you had in your notes was Matthew 23:23, which says, "Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You give a tenth of your spices, mint, dill, and cumin, but you have neglected the more important matters of the law." Justice, mercy, and faithfulness. Mm-hmm. You should have practiced the latter without neglecting the former. And so here we see Jesus talking to these Pharisees and saying, hey, you've become so much about following these rules, even to the tiniest degree, that you've forgotten about really the importance behind the law.
That's right.
Justice, mercy, and faithfulness.
Yes.
And that's really Jesus' message on the Sermon on the Mount. It's like, hey, it's a heart problem. It's not about just following these laws.
Mm-hmm.
And so
now, the cool thing, of course, and we've talked about this, I think, even on the pod before, cool thing about the Sermon on the Mount is that people think, you know, it's some level of Jesus loosening things, when really it's quite the opposite, right? And we talked about that of, no, you know, every instance of Jesus explaining what the law means in the Sermon on the Mount is him really ramping up the expectation for the believer. Correct. You know, you've heard it said this. Well, it's actually this. This is how you live it out, you know. And I think that is substantial, even relative to what we're talking about here, that, you know, that you can get those, all that. You need to be able to get the tithing and all those things right, the law, following the law, and make sure you don't miss the things that matter most. But it all matters.
Absolutely.
Right? He's saying it all matters.
Yeah.
But some of it matters more.
No, and these,
we talk about that.
These essentials that you talk about, for me, I thought of it this way, that these essentials are the foundation of our faith. Mm-hmm. And so from this foundation, what we lay on top of this, it's going to affect those things, right?
Right.
If we have a poor foundation, whatever we put on top of it, it's going to eventually fall and crumble.
Yes.
It's that old VBS song, "The Wise Man Built His House Upon the Rock."
House upon the rock,
yeah. Because that was a firm foundation.
Now, we're talking about that next Sunday.
Okay, sorry, well, I wasn't trying to...
Not this Sunday, next Sunday. So I know you're chomping at the bit to get to that.
I didn't even know
morning.
That, so yeah, that's perfect.
That's right. That kicks off our first part of our series that we're looking at, you know, on essential Jesus, the essential things that Jesus shows us, models, teaches for us. Mm-hmm. That very first thing we're talking about is foundation, and we're talking about the wise and foolish builder.
There you go. Free yep. promo and
free
the
promo.
Podcast
well, look
for
at just
you.
It's like you did that even accidentally and still did it well. Nice transition.
So what I want to do is just kind of go through the six essentials,
yep.
and some of these I believe we'll hit real quick. And there's a couple that I want to kind of ask some questions about. But this first one, we said, it is essential for a Christian to believe that God exists.
Yeah.
And to seek him earnestly.
Before we talk about it, let's give Chad Ragsdale credit.
Oh, right? Absolutely. Yeah.
So Chad wrote Christian Convictions, and we get these six things from his book. So I like to always be really careful to give credit where credit is due. And he does a good job, which is why we just use the way he summed up these six core ideas and just quoted him. Right. Yeah. So, yeah, what's the first one again?
It is essential for a Christian to believe that God exists and to earnestly seek him.
Yeah. So, you know, very, very much right off the bat and obvious is that we stand firm in our belief about who God is and that we don't waver on the fact that he is the deity. Yeah. Right. Yeah. That
he's not one among many.
That's right. And it shouldn't need to be said and probably doesn't need to be said to our audience. But as I tried to remind throughout this message, you might hear a lot of this and think, well, yeah, I know this, or I've got this, or yeah, these things are kind of obvious to me. But you better believe that we are living in the midst of a culture that is wavering on a lot of what to us are these obvious truths.
Yeah.
Even some believers that are starting to waver on some of these foundational truths. And so we just need to know very firmly, this is what we believe. This is what we're saying that is non-negotiable. This is what unites us as his church. And if you can't get in line with these things, you know, you shouldn't be calling yourself a part of the church, because it's like, that doesn't work.
No.
So, yeah.
I believe that. And no, this needs to be said.
I feel like it has to be.
I know it doesn't need to be said partially to our audience.
Sure. Preach into the choir a little.
This idea that God exists, he's not, like I said, he's not a God amongst gods. Mm-hmm. He's not this metaphysical just idea that we, our social construct of humankind. No, God is God, and yes. we need to believe that.
He's not the, you know, he's not a fairy tale we tell ourselves so we can sleep better tonight or
absolutely.
Not be depressed about the fact that we're all going to die and what's going to happen next. And so now we have to create something as a figment of our imagination to make us feel better. I mean, all the things that atheists say
yeah.
and try to dismiss Christianity as, right? So you better believe in that foundational truth.
You can't go on from there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For sure.
Number two, it is essential that a Christian believe Jesus is Lord.
Yeah. So his lordship, right? I mean, how critical is it that you do more? James chapter 1, verse 22, don't merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves, but do what it says,
yeah.
right? So in that way, I'm going to be a person who says, yes, I believe in God. Okay. Well, how many nominal Christians, and I probably would use that with the air quotes, how many nominal Christians would say, yeah, I believe that there's a God. And then after that, it's all really fuzzy for me, right? You know, you're absolutely not living in the midst of his lordship. You're not submitting to his lordship over your life. You've barely even acknowledged that there's a God. Like you're only going the tiniest amount forward that you feel like you have to. And let me just, I'll look in the camera, and I know our master extraordinaire Kai will lock this in, right? That's not far enough.
Absolutely.
That's not far enough, right? It absolutely has to come down to lordship.
Yeah.
I've given the Lord my life, and I'm committed to him and submitted to him in the way I live and doing what he tells me to do in his word. My life is his. That's the whole idea of having the Lord, and a master. You know,
I mean, even the demons believe, right?
That's right.
They know who God is.
Believe and they shudder, it says, right?
Yeah. They take it one step further.
Yeah, they believe and shudder, but you know what? Not enough for them to give lordship.
Absolutely.
Right?
Yeah, and that's the issue. It's funny that you're speaking on this. I feel like my Wednesday night lessons have come right in step with you and your sermons.
I'm looking over your shoulder, not even doing that on purpose.
But this week we're talking about, on one specific text we're talking about is John 6, where Jesus feeds the 5,000, this miraculous miracle, and these people are in awe and want to make him king. Mm-hmm. They want to say, hey, this is who God has promised, and they acknowledge that. And then just a couple of verses later, Jesus is teaching on this hard truth about accepting him as Lord. Mm-hmm. And he says, you should eat of my flesh and drink of my blood. That's where they turn. They're like,
it's a bridge too far.
I don't think I'm ready to commit that. And a lot of them leave. And even the disciples, Jesus overhears them talking, and he's like, do you want to leave?
Yeah.
And he gives them this question, and Peter's like, where would we go?
Mm.
Like, we understand that you are God.
Mm-hmm.
And so we want to follow you. Mm-hmm. And so taking that step to not only believe who God is, mm-hmm. but to follow Jesus and to have him Lord over our lives. That's really what this point is getting at.
Right.
And then going on, the third point,
mm-hmm.
it is essential that a Christian believes that Jesus is the risen Savior.
Yeah. So, quite simply, a belief in the resurrection. You know, you can't have Christianity. You really can't be a Christian, call yourself a Christian, in my estimation, and I think in the Bible's estimation, without believing in the resurrected Lord, without believing in the resurrected Christ. Because the resurrection is foundational to Christianity itself. If you try to take away that miracle, that miraculous resurrection, you are draining the word of God, quite honestly, and you're draining the resurrection of its power. And you're draining Jesus of his power. Because his power ultimately is most manifest, right, in the resurrection.
Absolutely.
In the defeat of death and sin, in his death, burial, and resurrection, that is where we see sin defeated. You know, he takes all of our sin, gives us all of the righteousness from the life that he lived and the fact that he's holy and we aren't. And he has been eternal. I'm sorry, he has been holy for time eternal, right? So all of that eternity, I'm sorry, all of that holiness throughout eternity banked up, given to us, taking away all of our sin, defeating death on the cross, dying, being raised again after 3 days. That's, you know, if you're not standing firm in the resurrection, and instead, you have what the one dude I referenced from the Instagram real story that I told as a part of the message, where, you know, he talks about this non-confessional theology or non-confessional scholarship is what he referenced, which is really just people that are too smart for their own good that have decided that they will study the Bible, Christianity, the Israelites, you know, the ancient Israelites, the ancient Hebrews, they will study them from a historical context because they cannot deny that the Bible as itself is the greatest historical document that we have from that time period, bar none, right? But if you only use it as a historical document, it's by far the greatest historical document. So they can't divorce that from their story, their study of history, but they want to divorce it from all of its miracles and anything else that is supernatural or anything like that. And the lordship of Jesus Christ and all of these other things.
Yeah.
So that's where the whole non-confessional thing comes in their verbiage. Well, they're not confessing Jesus as Lord. They're non-confessional.
Yeah. They'll say Jesus was a real man.
Right.
And he was a historical figure.
He's
a great teacher.
Yeah.
But they will stop at the resurrection. And I don't think that's by mistake, like you said.
Right.
Satan uses that because he knows that is the most powerful tool we have as Christians.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, in the beginning, in Genesis, God says, hey, there is this person that's going to come and he's going to crush the serpent's head.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to defeat sin. He's going to conquer death. If you take that out, like you said, the power's gone.
Yes.
The good news is no longer, it's just okay news. Like, yeah. This is what makes the gospel, is absolutely. The resurrection of Jesus.
Well, and it was C.S. Lewis, you know, he did a series of radio shows back during mm-hmm. World War II, and that ended up becoming his famous book that's not coming to my mind right now. You might remember it before.
Yeah, it's in my backpack right now. And yep. Now I just...
we both forgot it.
Yeah,
huh?
Great book. Ask me.
We'll put it
fantastic book.
Kyle put it on the notes. We'll show it to you later.
Mere Christianity.
Mere Christianity. Thank you. So Mere Christianity is really a summation of those radio shows that he did, answering questions and talking about theology and talking about why we believe what we believe. And he basically says, as a part of that, that Jesus does not leave us room to dismiss him as merely a good teacher. He said, you have to either declare him liar, a lunatic, or Lord, but to dismiss him as merely a good teacher, he did not leave you room to do that. As a matter of fact, he did not mean to.
Yeah.
Like, he did not mean to leave you room. Now, I've not perfectly quoted him on that, but that's basically what he says in that book and in that great kind of summation of, like, you can't have Jesus without making a determination about who he is. And he didn't leave you room to say he was just a good teacher, because... Yeah, I mean, you just read the Bible and you know that. Yeah. He says a whole lot more than that. Yeah, he says a whole lot more than that about himself, and his ministry shows a whole lot more than that about himself.
Absolutely. There's a decision that has to be made.
That's right.
Number four, it is essential that a Christian is saved by grace through faith and not by human effort.
Yeah.
So what you're telling me here is that I cannot save myself, yeah. no matter how good of a person I am.
Right.
No matter what I do, no matter who I help out, that I alone... do not have saving power.
Well, and how many times, I mean, I know you heard me talk about it on Sunday, mm-hmm. but how many times have you heard people that are either not Christian or nominally Christian,
yeah.
You know, they had like a belief about God, or they, you know, maybe went to church when they were a kid or something like that. And so they have like a general sense of God, but they're not walking with the Lord. Again, mm-hmm. they're not living in Lordship. But they say things like, well, you know, I've tried to live my life as a good person. And I feel like, you know, I've been a good person. And if you ask them, do you think you'll go to heaven? They'll say, well, you know, yeah, generally I've been a good person. I think I probably will. Mm-hmm. I hope I will.
Yeah.
You know, because I think I've been a pretty good person. And I mean, you and I and every other person who will listen or watch this podcast has absolutely heard that multiple times, maybe many, many, many times, sure. if I had to guess. And it, you know, we think about it, it's just crazy.
Yeah, and it's a scary place to live,
yeah,
if
sure
we think
is.
About it.
Yeah.
Like, I hope I'm going to get into heaven.
Right.
Why not put your faith and hope and trust in Jesus and know
yeah.
for a fact that yes. he gives salvation and eternal life? Yeah, I had a guy, our translator in India,
mm-hmm.
He'd ask me, first morning, well, every morning he'd ask me, hey, how are you? First morning, I said, I'm pretty good. I'm good this morning. He paused. He said, who told you you were good?
Mm.
I thought about it. I was like, well, you know, I'm not good. All I've fallen short. You know, my good deeds are like filthy rags.
Right.
And he's like, you're doing well, brother, by the grace of God. And I was like, you are so right. Like, we use that term flippantly. Like, are we? We're not really good.
No.
That's what Scripture shows us. We're sinful people in need of a Savior, right?
100%. And that's the foundational point here, is that, you know, we absolutely have to trust in Christ, and in no way, shape, or form trusting in our own ability to be good doesn't mean that we don't pursue holiness.
Absolutely.
We should pursue it with our whole hearts.
Yeah.
But our holiness and our pursuit of holiness is a love offering to God. It's us saying, I'm all in, you're my Lord, I want to live my life for you. But I recognize I can't save myself. It is only by your grace. If I trust in myself, I am doomed to fail. Absolutely. If I trust in you, I am guaranteed to succeed. Mm-hmm. Which do you want?
Yeah, talk
right?
about.
Yeah.
Number five, it is essential that a Christian be born again by the Holy Spirit.
Yes. And so we talked about Acts 2:38, repent, believe, be baptized, every one of you, for the remission of your sins, gift of the Holy Spirit. It's where we see in the book of Acts, and we talked a little bit about the book of Acts in this message as well,
yeah.
about some of those core messages that kind of lead into these core six elements of our faith. And so if you're going to go to heaven, you have to go as a born-again believer. Your old self needs to die, and the new you needs to come. And the only way that happens is that the old you dies in the watery, you know, and this is a this is Christianese, in the watery grave of baptism, yeah. right? Which is a Christianese way of saying you go down into the water, and yes, there is some symbolism there, but there's also a submission to the Word of God. The old you goes, and the new you comes, and the Holy Spirit comes to dwell in you. You are now a whitewashed temple. You're clean, not a whitewashed tomb. That's what you don't want to be. That's what Jesus called the Pharisees, right? You're a whitewashed temple. You've been a cleansed, you're now a cleansed temple, able to receive the Holy Spirit, and then the Holy Spirit does that work of sanctification in you, leading you into daily pursuit and daily holiness, right? So that's the sanctification process, which is a, you know, I'm sure some message soon will touch on sanctification and all those kinds of things. We can dig deeper into that.
No, but I think the sixth one goes into into that. It says it is essential that a Christian perseveres in a faithful faith.
Right. Yes, that is, you know, tied into those Hebrew verses about, you know, being a kind of person that is going to actually live out what we say we believe. It comes back to the James verse I mentioned earlier about not just listening to the word, but actually doing what it says. And so we will live out our lives being people that live out our faith. You know, don't just talk about it, but be about it.
Yeah, so. I believe that this one is probably, if I would have to guess, for most of our audience, that this is the hardest one.
Oh, sure.
The first five, yeah, like I believe that God, I believe Jesus is Lord, I believe He's the risen Savior, I believe that I'm saved by grace through faith, I believe that I have to be born again, but living that out day to day is tough. We see Jesus, even in the parable of the sower and the seed, like there are those who are going to accept the message, but that aren't going to be those who are faithful,
right.
that are gonna backtrack or gonna deny Jesus later or don't have the roots to continue on. And that's tough to hear. I believe that for many people, it's whenever they reach hardship. Mm-hmm. It's like, wow, well, I've accepted Jesus as Lord. Why isn't my life easier?
Yeah.
And tomorrow night, that's what we're gonna talk about in my class, is that accepting Jesus isn't a one-way ticket to an easy life. Like, being a faithful believer is hard,
right?
But God gives us every means to do so, and when we do live as a faithful believer, we produce the fruit of the Spirit. We then live this life that is better than the life without Christ,
right?
And it's worth it, and it's worth enduring those hard times or struggling with some of the questions that are non-essentials.
Yes.
Like, those things to me show and provide us that we're persevering in the faith. I don't think it's an easy task.
No.
But it also isn't meant to be done alone. And I think we talked about that a couple of podcasts, is that on this particular one, people try to do this alone.
Right.
Wasn't meant to be done alone. Meant to do with
people that say, well, why do I really need to go to church, or, you know,
one reason why.
yeah, you don't want to try to do life by yourself as a believer. You know, the lone sheep gets picked off by the wolves every time, so don't be foolish, don't be headstrong, you know, don't allow past church hurts or things like that to keep you away from the church. There may be somebody out there who's listening to this or watching this, and you know, you've been wounded by the church. Maybe you've even been wounded by our church. And, you know, if that's happened, we're sorry. That's never, ever our intent. So know that we sometimes fail, right? Because we're sinners and we're human. But we invite everybody back into this kind of our messy fellowship. And we want to love you well. We want to get it right more often than not. And we want to be there to support one another. You know, you pick me up when I'm down. I pick you up when you're down. You'll get it right sometimes. I'll get it right sometimes, and vice versa. But together, we'll persevere. Yeah. You know, that's the whole idea of that sixth point.
And there's a beauty in being grounded in these six essentials.
Yeah.
And then being able to talk about the other things, the things that are important but aren't essential. I think we can have grace with each other.
Absolutely.
Pretty sure there are things that you and I don't see eye to eye. We're not going to talk about, you know, the end times probably anytime soon. Like, those things are fun to talk about, but they're just not they just
that's the pastime of saved people, right? Can talk about the kind of nitty-gritty details, and that's healthy. You know, that's why we do Bible studies, and we try to understand and learn more to grow in our individual faith, to understand the Word of God better so that we might teach it or share it with somebody else or answer their questions or get clarity on a particular issue.
Because it's important.
Yeah, it matters. Yeah. And I hope everybody hears us saying that. Those more minor issues, they still matter. Just like when Jesus said, right, you should tithe from, you know, your cumin and your dill and your mint and all that other stuff. But most importantly, don't forget to do the foundational things. Mm. So you've got to have both and.
Yeah, because out of those foundational principles that comes tithing, comes all these other things that are important.
Absolutely. Yeah. So there's going to be minor things, and the minor things still matter. Don't major in them, right? Absolutely. Major in the majors, mm-hmm. and minor in the minors.
Yeah.
That's okay. You can do both, you know? Just like if you got a degree, you had minors and you had majors. And there were things that were more important than other things. But it didn't make the things that were the minors irrelevant.
Yeah, and I think we can get lost in the minors. I've been there before.
Sure.
There's certain topics that are just like your...
Yeah, it's your hobby horse, you know?
Yeah. And so that's one thing this year that I've tried to be better about is not everybody cares, Brennan.
Right.
Like that's not a thing that I think people are going to hell for.
Yeah.
Just keep it to yourself.
That's right.
Unless somebody specifically asks.
Yeah, you want to talk about it, let's talk about it, right?
You know? They want to listen.
Yeah.
Let's have a conversation. But that's it's good to be reminded of these six essentials.
My friend, I used to have a mentor friend named Creighton Beatty who's been in ministry a long time. And, you know, he would always say, well, you know, why don't we study together about it?
Yeah.
And he would just schedule like a Bible study to talk about a thing that somebody wanted to talk about, or, you know, whether that was a potential member, or whether that was somebody in his church. And they would just sit down and open the Bible together, and they would sit down and talk about it. And I just always thought that was a very simple example, but a great example. And he would just open the Bible, let's talk about it, right? Let's read this together, you know? It's a simple but beautiful way of approaching it. So
it is.
It's good.
Any final thoughts on this?
No, it was good. Good to put a bow on this series. Really loved it. I'm already super pumped for this series called The Essential Jesus, because I just love to get to talk about Jesus and focus on some of these foundational stories.
It's essential.
We strategically is the way these series have gone. You know, this is not accidental that we talked about some of the essentials of the faith and then we roll right into a series about some of the essential things that Jesus himself models for us and teaches to us that help define our Christianity. Mm-hmm. So yeah, we're doing that on purpose this particular Sunday, and I know we're about to transition into what are we excited about, and I'll go ahead and jump in, right?
Ahead,
so for me, it's definitely this week. We've got Mark Landrum here from the International Mission to Jewish People, and he's going to be here sharing a great presentation called The Gospel and the Passover. Looking forward to hearing from him. I get to just sit in the pew this week and listen and learn. He's going to show us from that Seder meal that, you know, Jews still do today, that Passover meal, what's taught? What are we understanding about Jesus from that? What is it? What can it show us and teach us? And how are they using that as a mission tool to reach Jewish people, right, for Christ, which is really cool.
Man, I'm excited for that.
Yeah, I'm pumped.
I feel like it's gonna scratch my nerdy itch.
I think it will. Yeah. I think, you know, we will all learn and have a better understanding of that celebration.
Yeah.
So it'll be good. How about you, man? What are you excited about?
Yeah, I got family coming into town tomorrow. Parents will be here. Awesome. In-laws will be here. We just closed on a house, and so we're enjoying that. It's been a huge blessing, and so being able to do that with my parents, have a place to host them and in-laws, I'm excited for that time that we get to spend with them. We're celebrating the girl's birthday this coming weekend. So
nice.
Just those little things.
Those are huge things.
Yeah,
man.
those things are what keep me going. And so, love.
You got family. A longer drive now to work, right?
Yeah, man, I got a 20-minute drive.
Yeah, you got time to think. Listen to this podcast.
Yeah, that's exactly what I do.
Like all the rest of you, right?
Oh, man. All right. Well, we're thankful that you made it this far in the podcast, and we hope to see you next week.
See you guys.